This is the Land and Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Whitetail Properties Real Estate. We're your hosts, Adam Keith.
And Matt Dye. This is your weekly resource for habitat management, wildlife management, and recreational real estate. We hope you guys enjoy the show. All right, guys, if you are thinking about buying or selling land, period, you need to do yourself a favor and go check out whitetailproperties.com. The professionalism, the ethic that is just incorporated into the brand and to the land agents themselves, those who you would be working with in your respective region, is second to none. Adam and I have had the pleasure of working with a lot of different folks and a lot of different transactions across lots of different states, but one thing definitely rings true is the caliber in which Whitetail Properties works at. So you owe it to yourself to go check out them online at whitetailproperties.com. Browse their properties. Or if you are interested in seeing what your property may bring, go contact a land agent in your region. They are rapidly growing and spreading across the country. About 40 different states now, they have land agents and representatives in your region. So make sure you check them out, whitetailproperties.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to another Land and Legacy podcast. It's your host, Matt Dye, and I am trying something new out for the YouTube channel this week, but it's also going to be a podcast. So hopefully we can get these things almost simultaneously dropped. So if you have the opportunity and want to watch what we're doing, you can then have that opportunity and follow along on the YouTube channel with these podcast video breakdowns that we're going to be doing here for you. They're going to come in different types of content as well. This right now is going to come as we break down a Whitetail Properties land beat video talking about the access, and then we're going to be obviously breaking that property down itself on X. So back and forth through this video, you're going to see us switching screens and going back and forth from the listing itself, from the video itself to the actual property on X. There's so much more, guys, that we want to be able to showcase and share with you guys in the podcast or to our loyal podcast listeners. But obviously time and availability, let's say, in the office is rather limited the first half of the year, something we've been wanting to be able to do more of. And now we're able to do that as we're really kind of getting through, let's say, the heaviest portion of travel. This is not going to be a weekly thing necessarily, but when we have the opportunity, we have the content built around a video series or just something that we can visually showcase you, we're going to record the audio of that video itself, produce the podcast out of that audio, and then release the video in podcast form there on YouTube. So we're trying to maximize our effort and delivery of content to you all. And so I think that this is going to be a really good opportunity for us all to gain a little bit more knowledge as well as share some of our knowledge with you all, again, who have been listening and following along with us so loyally. So I'm sat back in the office. I've got YouTube up right to Whitetail Properties. And the title of the video for this week is going to be the most important feature for any hunting farm. Here in recent podcasts, I actually broke down this farm. It's a client's property. Adam and I had worked with him 6 or 7 years ago, laid out a lot of the access and the main hunting feature portions of the farm. He was already into doing TSI, temporary forest openings, prescribed fire, but we took his direction and increased the intensity and the hunting strategy around that aspect of the property itself. And so we are now going to be able to showcase that here after he's done years and years of work. And we've done a video here on it as well. So we got multiple content streams coming at you within this podcast video breakdown. And I'm excited to be able to know, hey, there's some technology out there that we get to be able to utilize to make our jobs a little bit easier, but again, communicate the messages that we want to communicate to you all. And between OnX, this video platform, as well as the land beat videos that we've shot in the field already, we can go ahead and do that. So if you are following along and want to watch the video and you're listening to it on the podcast, you're going to go to Whitetail Properties, click on the land beat section, and the most important feature to any hunting farm is what you're going to want to select. So I'm going to go ahead and switch over my screen. So as I'm switching over my screen, I am going to be selecting the video itself. And what we're going to do is start the video at the about 37 minute mark and roll through it here and let it play out a little.
Even though there is a cabin on the property and that happens to be centrally located on the farm,
I think right here is a great place to pause. We're already talking about the cabin itself. So this property, as we'll see here, as we're going to see here, I'm going to switch over to Onyx. Bump. There we go. As we're going to see here, right, this is the cabin location. So we're east central on the property itself. We'll go ahead and mark that out for those watching online. A little bit of a lag here, guys. But this is the cabin site right here. And that's the location. Most people wouldn't expect, you know, an east access and a centrally located cabin to be, you know, an asset to the property itself. They think, okay, centrally located. Well, I got to go to the center of the farm, and then from there, I'm going to spoke out, and that's the hub. I'm going to go out to the edges. I'm going to blow everything that's in the center of my property out. But the way that this sits, more running north to south, you're going to see that this actually works really, really well for access. As we're located right here in the central portion of the property, we have multiple options if we want to, because of the boundary road system that the property has. We've got the options to leave the cabin here, head west, and then get out to the actual gravel road itself. And this thing is being a little funny, so hang on with me for a sec. So what we're going to do is bounce down that driveway, get in here. Now we're on that boundary road, the gravel road, and delineate that right there as a primary road, a great access road. But you can see if we were there in a morning situation, we can leave that cabin, head west, get right back out to the boundary, and we're not interfering with anything on that property that you're really going to be hunting. So the other really neat aspect is to the south now, we've got a southern boundary road as well. And I'm highlighting this one in yellow as well. That right there is a boundary road. And so if we want to, we can leave the cabin, head west out of the driveway, make a little bit of loop around a neighboring piece, and then hit that gravel road on the south that would gain you access in a morning to come in off of Big Food. You know, all the deer are kind of centrally northerly located and working back to some of these edges. And that's what I really like about this property is, even though that cabin is centrally located right here, what works for this is that you can bounce to the outside, but that's not necessarily where the deer are congregating at. Where, because of where we laid out the larger food plot locations, we don't have to worry about bumping deer as we're leaving that. We're just really worried in the morning situation getting to the outside, because we know centrally located deer are going to be working back out to the fringes. So we have that morning access really in check. And as we zoom in, we can see, okay, like this is a larger food plot complex right here in this big porch. We've got a big screen blind right there. So deer that might be feeding in this is going to come down, maybe bed on this south slope, but we also have got this larger food plot complex down here, and they're going to work back in on this ridge. There's several bedding thickets in here. There's not highlighted here on this this aerial, but you could access right back and get on this ridgetop, come around the edge, you know, let deer filter out of these bigger food plot complexes, and then sneak right in here with a northerly wind to this little kill plot that then deer are going to dump and work back into bedding over here. So you've got lots of options, and that's what I really love about this property itself, is that's just on the south side. As we work farther to the north, got some other big food plot complexes. Here's some larger ones here as well. Three big ones, right? And what you're seeing out in all this open ground over here to the south of the house and then to the north, that's all CRP. And so we don't have crops in there, right? But we've got a lot of great transitional cover, and it's a very forb heavy blend as well. So lots of additional native forage, but deer feel comfortable crossing that larger opening because we've got grasses and forbs 3.5 to 4.5, 5 foot tall, easy throughout all of that in a great CRP blend. But from an access standpoint, all across this north boundary, deer feeding in here, we've got some bedding thickets off these points already cut in. And, you know, a hunter could come in off of the road itself and get right back here. They're in off the road 115 yards, but really they're downwind of a bedding area that's off big major food protected by CRP. Not many places, right? You could just pop in, pop out, and not really do a lot of disturbance whatsoever. So I love that access and that ability on that north end. But even over here too, off this east side on a west wind, you could pop in here, get on that ridge top. We got bedding thickets over here as well. And you got the same option. So mornings, you're really, really covered across this. If you're wanting to hunt from the outside in kind of approach like we typically preach, especially earlier into the seasons, those first, you know, a few cold fronts of October, maybe you got a buck on a pattern and you want to be a little bit aggressive because you know what he's doing because you got the right trail camera set up. But that's the kind of approach where you get into the good stuff, but you're not completely into that farm, so hot and heavy early into that season. As we look elsewhere too across the property, some of the other things that I really do like is we talk about more of an evening setup. Evening setup, right? Deer are going to be more tied to some of these bedding thickets, right? They're going to be bedded down. We got a couple really good ridge points over here as well that have been had either TSI or some bedding cuts off these points. And then some of the ones that really show up are down over here. You can see those bedding cuts really pretty easily. Boom, 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 right there. Like that's a little over an acre, but really in all actuality, it's probably an acre and a half as I get this thing zoomed out to its true magnitude right there. We'll go ahead and save that. That's a big bedding thicket. Got another good one right here on this south slope, right on that top rim. Another acre right there. So you got those where a lot of deer are going to be congregated and bedded at. So instead of going from to the outside and letting deer work from outside to in like you do in the morning, from inside out in the morning, what we can do now from an evening approach is hunt from our inside and let them come from that kind of outside edges to work more interior of the property. And what I really like about this, so for example, right, we've got an option right here to go in this road, stay below the high point right here. This is the high point of the ridge. And when you're just off of it, you fall just on the back side of it, you can go in and access some of these blinds and locations that are like right here. Throw a blind up right there. And this plot itself is more of your grain and your overseeded greens in the winter time frame. But what's really nice is we've got kind of different, a little bit of slope aspects different and whatnot with our bedding. But we've got diversified food plots because this one over here is a clover plot. So depending upon the seasonality and what food source in the evening that deer are really hitting here at this location, just from this cabin, you're able to travel on the interior road, CRP on both sides, never crest and get on the actual ridge top. Most of the deer you're hunting are way further west, and you stay below that CRP and you stay below that topo line, crest that ridge, and you have either option that you want to be able to sneak to and back and forth in and out super clean to these different sets. And that's what's so exciting about these different opportunities is with the right winds and with the right, you know, time of the season, if you're really keen in and paying attention to what deer are correlating, the day-to-day food temperature changes, you're going to be very successful in a place like this that has this kind of access. So that's one just great, great evening setup on this farm. One of the other ones that I really like that works for the morning as well as the evening is this kill plot just right here. This little clover kill plot, and it's on the edge of the property. Big cattle farm over here to the west. But this little guy right here, we are approximately from the blind itself, let's say, which sits about there, all the way in. We're about 200 yards off the actual hardtop, but you got a very concealed edge. You walk that edge right into the plot. But there's a lot of deer that bed in this chunk of timber in here. It's young, overgrown pasture stuff from probably the 1960s, 1970s. And it's had TSI, it's had bedding. I think its map just doesn't showcase it yet. However, this kill plot right here really fills up with deer, right? You've got great west and south as well as north sloping aspects in here. So when you've got larger food complexes like here, 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 this is a big perennial clover plot. And which is what I really like what this client did when he started to execute the layout of the food, like we had recommended, he really stuck with it and really kind of went all in. And as I'm highlighting this stuff out, you can see that, okay, there's, you have different forages, we got different options here. And what he has done is create this kind of movement flow pattern throughout this property. And I'm going to go ahead and slap the blind up right here, guys, where it sits at, because it's right about there. Boom. But what I like is, okay, if you want to, in an evening, if you got north winds, you come in off the south, kill deer as they're hitting that kill plot, and then working out to this bigger food that may not ever get to that big blind up top right here. But if you do choose to come in from the interior in an afternoon, you can bypass this larger plot over here and work to the outside, right, over here, drop down. And from about this point, before you expose yourself to that big food, because you're going to have to get out, right, we got a little walking path cut back here, boom, 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 drop down into a ditch. And this ditch right here splits these two fields. Deer don't cross it, but really just in one or two locations. And right there is how you get up and over and into that. Here's your stand access trail, boom, 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 walking right into this blind. Then you hunt that obviously on a south wind or southerly type wind. And early season, late season, it doesn't really matter, morning, evening, this complex, essentially, deer utilizing it, you've got great opportunities to get in and get out. So I really like this. This set right here wouldn't be a morning set. You're going to do too much damage coming from the cabin, all interior. You're just going to have to reserve yourself, right, for an afternoon set here. But this is what I think a lot of people really mess up on when they're laying out a property, is oftentimes they try and push the envelope too much in a layout. Oftentimes it's best to have or build a plan, build a hunt strategy when you're in a mindset or you've got, right, you know, your head on straight, that you are building in the discipline into that hunt strategy, where you're kind of setting up the restrictions to yourself and to guests that may be there joining you in the future, and say, hey, this is the only time frame in which I'm going to be hunting that stand itself. That's an evening only. I'm not going to do it any other time. But if I'm having those type restrictions on the property itself or on those specific blind situations, I am going to make sure I've got other access points in which I can still hunt that general food complex and hunt, you know, a morning off on the west side, or hunt a travel corridor leading to and from that bigger food plot complex in a morning. But I just know that if I continue to try and hunt that, you know, that stand, that blind in a morning situation, I'm going to end up doing more damage then I am good, most likely. Sometimes, you know, people can get away with it, right? The deer actually came into range that day, or the deer actually didn't get downwind, or I didn't bump him in the morning getting to that field. He didn't enter that field until 8:30, 10 o'clock that day, right? Whatever the scenario is, may happen on occasion, but I think that for me personally speaking, I don't want to hunt deer like on occasion. I want the best odds. I want the best chances. If I know I'm going to do damage in a morning getting to that larger food plot complex, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say wait till the right time, the right winds, the right pressure, and get there in an evening. And that field's going to be very secure because I'm not hunting it right on the wrong winds, the wrong days, not pressuring it. So deer should be there early and have daylight occurrences, right, with the right pressures and the right temperatures. And my chances are much higher there than me hunting it, you know, four or five times in the morning to, you know, the once or twice in the evening where those conditions are right. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of people get it wrong, but this kind of setup scenario here is one where you really have got, you know, two stand options on this food plot complex, but you've got a lot of different winds and options to be able to hunt it. Evening, high odds here, right? A lot of high odds in this. You're going to see them, hopefully encounter them. We've got mock scrapes out here. One thing I probably would add to this that's not here on the map, I'd likely go ahead and I'd add a nice little water hole right there. Oh, and it didn't change it blue. Look at that. There we go. And I go ahead and add that into that to try and close the distance on some of those longer shot opportunities that are likely to occur with the bow. I want to bring them into range quite a bit more. So having those two food plot crops as well as the water hole situation is going to bring them in. And there's a mock scrape set up in there too. So, but between these two locations, right, man, if you're a diligent hunter and a disciplined hunter, you're going to know that, hey, I know that those odds, right, even though I have two basically hunting locations, but two different winds and two different access points, I may not always be in the game, or it may be a good day and I can't get exactly where I want to, but at the end of the season, you're going to have chances at deer on this, let's say, complex, right? But what I typically will see is this number, right? Okay, I'm coming in there. Let me just throw one up here, right? I'll add a stand right there. Or let me just go ahead and, you know, on the occasion my camera's getting him, you know, over here, I probably could, you know, get it really risky and throw one up there. Or, you know, I have seen him on occasion, you know, when I hunted that blind, he came out in this corner too. And so then I'm gonna blow some wind. Well, it's just kind of one of those days where the wind is a light wind, so it could really be anywhere anyway. So I'm just going to have a stand there. That's where you start getting into trouble. And that's what we want to really avoid. That's not discipline. And again, if that steps on your toes, we're all here to learn. And I think the guys who are the most successful have hard, fast rules. If you will, rules of engagement, essentially, it is what it is for each stand and set. It's this, these are the parameters in which I'm here. These are the parameters. If it's outside of that, then I'm not going. Even if trail cameras are telling me, you know, hey, it's the right, you know, temperature, but not quite the right wind, or it's the right direction, but I don't have that 8-10 mile an hour wind. I've got a 4 mile an hour wind. Oof, that one gets you every time. But guess what? The temperatures that drop, right, the last 30 minutes of daylight, those winds drop as well. And that 4 mile an hour forecasted wind starts to blow around and drift, and the thermals take it and push it right back across that plot. And you win the deer, right? Right. He smells you and gigs up, and wow, that was a cool encounter, but you blew it, right? Because we didn't have the discipline. This is what I typically see, but in consulting, right? And working with landowners, this is what ends up happening. We go in here, boom, delete that. Get that out of there. Come in here, boom, delete that. Let's get back into a situation where we've got discipline built into our system And now we've got some regulation and restraint. The other thing I really like too about this place is we've got bigger food plot complexes from what Adam and I had laid out many years ago. And then in between that, it's just some dense pockets of food. What's really very nice is this big south-facing slope complex right up through here. Bam, bam, bam. It's all had cedar cut out. There's about a 10-acre section right in there. Big, again, south slope that is pretty demolished, and it looks amazing from a bedding standpoint. It's been burned, but south slope deer can dump into this grain right through here, no problem. But then also, since we've got this larger complex up here, we've got the option and different wind options and a ridgetop option for, right, the blind and the screen that you see set up right there to hunt deer that are bedded off that south slope and then come right up the ridge to feed on this larger food plot complex up here. And what's nice is whether it's rifle, late season, muzzleloader, we've got more acreage up here. We're probably going to have the standing grain left over for late season up here. And deer are definitely going to be on that south slope. And there's going to be more sun on that ridge, right, than down here in this bottom. So late season, this field, which plot-wise is almost 4 acres, that's going to fill up really well. And I really also enjoy the fact that the, even though this is a 4-acre field and kind of this Y shape in here, the distance between the blind and where the food plot is planted is 37 yards, right? So we've got this deeper drainage that cuts in here. Deer, when they're working this plot itself, by its design, let's say they start on this edge or this eastern finger, to work around and get over here if they see another deer, they're coming well within range of that blind because of this drainage system that splits the fields, and they're gonna work around just like that. So a decoy situation right here during the rut or you know, late October timeframe is gonna work really well. But just because this is a 4-acre plot, we're talking late season initially, doesn't mean that this doesn't and can't hunt well during the rut, the way that deer are going to just naturally move through and come within, you know, shooting distance of that blind. Another great option too, I wouldn't care to throw just bam, right there, because you know you're going to get some water runoff and collection is another pond. So maybe it's that 37 yards, but now that pond edge might end up being a little bit more like what? Yep, 30 yards. So everything 30 and in, that's just top pin, wham. I know when they cut that distance, I'm going to have, right, it's just a no-brainer shot opportunity. And we've got, right, bedding thickets over here. And this drainage over here has been cut pretty hard. It's kind of a good, like, it's easy to overlook this pocket of timber in here. Cattle pasture, crop over here to the east, CRP to the north. But there's going to be deer that lay in here, even though it's not as big, thick jungle as this 10-acre section to the south. This just nice managed TSI'd woodland in here is going to hold some deer, especially early season and rut, that's going to trade off back and forth. You can see just with the topo lines and everything, deer crossing right through here. Easy, easy. There's a fence row that swings, you know, north to south behind that blind. So, man, just path of least resistance and topography, they're going to be exchanging in there super good. And that's the other things that I guess I really like about this entire property is, man, look at the way that these food plots and the way that they got set up originally. It's not like it's, oh, that's my early season plot, or that's my late season plot, or that's this. A lot of these plots you're hearing me talking are very functional throughout different aspects of the year, based on the placement, based on the topo, but here specifically, based on the arrangement of bedding around each and every one of these food plots. It's going to connect deer, right? It's going to basically connect the dots on a property, on a farm. So when bucks are on their feet moving throughout the rut, you're going to have opportunities to encounter them as they're moving a lot and likely rapidly on a property, chasing does, seeking does, or just trying to find the next hot one. That's why we set it up the way we do, right? So like that's the whole purpose and intention here. I could break this farm down. We haven't even talked about the top ones too much, but it's phenomenal, right? Let's jump back to that video real quickly, because there's a few other things that I want to highlight I haven't highlighted yet on this map itself. So as we go back to the video, one of the cool things is this last road that I'm standing in here, as you can tell there on the screen, it's an internal one, right? This road was not established, as the client had bought the property. We recommended establishing it for multiple reasons, right? Number one was a management road, essentially. It's not one that really is going to be traveled whatsoever during season, except to go and retrieve a deer, right? It's one that essentially you're creating it for them during season, but outside of season and for management purposes, it's built for you. It's built to make fire a lot easier and some good distinguished boundary lines or distinction of habitat throughout the property itself. So I will play a little bit.
To be dozed in. And really, we're going to reference this more as a secondary road or a management road. This rarely ever is going to get traveled. And it connects essentially
even
the CRP food plot.
Me, right? You can see this road itself, it's a normal width of a road. It's not like it's just UTV. This was done with the dozer. This was done. If you had wanted to take a pickup through here, it could be taken, right? So there weren't, let's say, corners being cut here. Even though it's a management road, we're not going to travel it, it's still a nice distinguished road, because there will be, you know, instances at some point, right, for whether it's current owner or the new owner coming in, that this property or this aspect of the property is going to need to be accessed with, you know, decent machinery or trucks to be able to do some sort of maintenance down the road, whether it be fences, rehabbing those from, there's cattle across the line there. So you just, when you're building a road system, build it right from the start. Make it so where it's super passable and one where you don't have to continue to maintain those branches. Because every year it grows back thicker, denser, and more difficult to manage, right? It becomes more of a hassle. And when it becomes a hassle, you don't actually end up maintaining it. That's a common trend in recreational landowners and landowners in general, me and everyone here at Land Legacy Team included, right? If it's a hassle, you end up pushing that project off because there's always something more pressing or maybe a larger priority or something that's just a lot more fun to do. So you end up not doing it. Been there, done that.
Plot all the way down to where it comes out at a food plot and connects into more CRP. But this would be the most aggressive, intrusive type road that would be put into the property.
Right. So this is the other thing I guess I would see oftentimes from landowners itself is you have a road there, you know, you go in with the right intentions of, oh, I'm not going to access that road, I'm not going to utilize it during hunting season. But then it is always in the back of your mind, well, if I wanted to, I could. And then you let that thought creep into your head of, well, it is there, super nice. It'd be easier to walk, you know, down that road in the morning rather than cutting through the woods and getting to that one stand. I'll just swing down there. I'll park the UTV, you know, on the way over there. Well, there goes back to that discussion of discipline, right? We can't do everything, right? We have to have those parameters set for a farm and set within our own brain and stick to it, right? If we would hold someone else to that standard who would come to the property and say, hey, well, you can hunt down that way, but you can't access down that road because it's just a management road only. If you're telling someone else to do that, you have to abide by it too. Because that rule is in place most likely for a very good reason. And it's easier to not make those rules so that you get to then do whatever you want because it's your property. But again, This goes back to discipline and knowing, okay, is this going to help me get to my goals? Is it going to help me reach my harvest goals, my hunting objectives for this property? And oftentimes the juice isn't worth the squeeze because the damage done, once it's done, it's done. And not the deer can't, you know, overcome it or you know, you let things rest for a little bit. That's good and all. But just don't do it in the first place. You don't have to worry about it. Have good discipline when you're setting up and managing this, you know, properties in general, because you're going to find that, although, hey, it wasn't the target deer that I bumped, some of those deer learn it relatively quickly, and you know, maybe don't show up till late, don't show up to that food plot till, you know, just after dark anymore, whatever the case may be. You just have to remain disciplined yourself. So back to the map itself, I want to show you this kind of new internal row that we were putting in here. Let's see here. I'm going to swap over here back to the map. And here we are. I'm going to show you this, going to outline it right here. So one thing we have talked about, you know, really was the west boundary line. So I'm going to show you where this road is. Start right up there off the road, comes right down this property line. I shot the video standing right here, right out the edge of that food plot. What this road does is once it hits this timber, dives a little bit back towards the property line and kind of hug the creek some down this drainage. And then kind of see it starting to show up on the map. Swings down below this bedding thicket down here. Boom, boom. And then pops back out in this food plot right there. Tiny little food plot. But that right there is your secondary road, internal road, or really more or less a management road. But you can see how that's really necessary for the different burn breaks that you're going to have from the CRP section up here. Always good to be burning off an interior road. Come here. That really is it's an exterior road up here, but kind of comes in a little more interior as we get into the timbered section. But we can have more distinct fire units in the timber here once this is in place. But obviously you can tell now, okay, yeah, that was not in place. There was a creek you could have used for a fire break, but oftentimes you're gonna have log jams, you're gonna have a lot of leaf debris down in there because it's covered on both sides from trees. It's not gonna really be a great creek system, and it really rarely dries or runs and not until later in the spring. So most of the burning is done and accomplished by then. So that's why you put that new road in there. And you've got so much great access boundary wise across here. And obviously not every internal road here is outlined, but there's no shortage of them. But I will give credit to where it's due. The landowner showed pretty incredible discipline in hunting this property, despite bringing, you know, grandkids and many other guests to the property itself. He was a big proponent of the Field to Fork program with NDA and would bring new hunters. I think honestly for the entire program, this property has killed the most deer in the Field to Fork program. But when you have a good road system and you're diligent, you can afford to bring new guests and you have that great access and you abide by it, set the rules, set the standard, and then maintain the standard with you and the way you hunt it and your guests hunt it, you've got great options for continued year-round success or throughout the entire season, beginning of season to the end of season, you have that success that you can play into. And that is a huge win across different properties. So yeah, this farm is super stellar. There's, again, so much more we could map out here, but I just wanted to highlight that access is so important. Morning, obviously, versus evening stands, boundary road systems. And then I do need to mention this before I head out, but what was crop now turned into 136 acres of CRP. What had been crop and during season, or at least for the most part of the season, was wide open and bare fields where you could be seen and traveling throughout it was very difficult. now is all CRP, right? With obviously the leftover acres pulled out of the program for food plots. But this, the balance of the open acres is CRP as opposed to crop. And so we left enough food plot to where we could still grow grains from a food plotting standpoint and have grains to hunt over, but then also just took the existing crop ground that was for most of the year itself, a what would be or equal to a concrete, right, parking lot. It didn't offer very much forage, especially corn years, from germination to the time of harvest. There's not much food available on all those acres. And this thing is a 400 some acres, but 130 of it, or really at that point, 150 of it was crop. We kept some of that back for food plots. But then now, right, you got 136 acres in the CRP program that's 4 to 5.5, some areas 6 foot tall. You're covered when you're driving from spot to spot or walking across here. And the other aspect is like none of this ground is really that flat. So the way some of these road systems are just off the ridge top really helps conceal you when you got, you're just off the ridge top itself, right? And then your grass structure is 6 foot above that and you're a foot below it, a foot below where that top section is. You've got enough coverage to navigate this farm and not be bumping and blowing out deer that are either potentially bedded in the CRP or just traveling across it itself, right? So such a big win in converting those acres out of the crop production and into the CRP program. CRP is not for everyone. Totally get that. But that it's not about the CRP program. It's about the fact of taking it out of crops and converting it to cover. There's a lot of different ways and techniques that we do that. This was just nice for the landowner to retain that annual income that CRP provided and still check the box of, more cover on the farm, more forage on the farm, because remember, it's a forb heavy blend in the CRP program that he enrolled in. And quail numbers have absolutely exploded, and wild turkey is certainly not hurting on this farm whatsoever because of the brooding and nesting opportunities that CRP and high forb and burn rotation that is on this property that he's executing. So it has really increased not just deer opportunities and access opportunities, but other recreational opportunities and improvement to some pretty critical game bird population. So all in all, fantastic property. Congrats to the new owners because it is just getting ready to be sold and changed hands. But guys, let us know in the comments below what you thought of this video breakdown. There'll be more that we can do here in the future, again, with this different technology and whatnot. But I hope you enjoyed it. For those listening on the podcast, obviously I highlighted a ton of stuff on the map. Make sure you head over or watch this on YouTube so it becomes more relevant to you. But we appreciate everyone listening, guys, and thank you so much for your loyal listenership week to week. It has been fantastic to see this podcast grow and fuel our business. So thank you guys so much. Hope you enjoy these new video breakdowns. And guess what? Only a few more months till season. Bucks are growing antlers. It's feeling like it's time to shoot the bow. It is time because season is just around the corner. So, guys, we appreciate it. See you here next week.